Well, if you're of the East Coast, and Dublin in particular, you would probably this morning enjoy the various odes that have been written to the Super Quinn sausage and be relieved to hear that the pork product will be retained despite the imminent wiping of the Super Quinn name from our grocery shopping landscape. But beyond that sizzling aspect of the story, what does the end of Super Quinn and indeed the closure of four Marks and Spencer's stores say about our retail industry, and what will it mean for the customer? In a moment, I'll speak to food critic Tom Dooley and Conor Pope, consumer affairs correspondent with the Irish Times. But first of all, on the line is the man who founded Super Quinn way back in 1960. Fergal Quinn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles. How are you?
Any regrets? The slightest pang of regret for
happened? Certainly. Certainly there are regrets, in as much as I'd love to have thought that the name could have lasted for another couple of hundred years. But it's the decision of the people who own it now, and that's Musgraves, and they're an Irish family business, and I'm delighted to see an Irish family business in control.
I suppose you lost any say in the matter when you sold in 2005 for what looked like, or certainly looks like now, a very, very good deal.
Well, it was an easy enough decision to make at that stage, because I talked to the rest of the family. I was getting to the stage where they were involved as well, and they said there were other things they'd like to do rather than get involved in property development, and it looked as though you couldn't survive too easily in that marketplace without getting involved in property development, and I think we were probably very wise as it turned out.
You must be sad, though, to see also 102 back office support staff go, because I presume you would have worked with many of those people, given that you were there as recently as 8 years ago.
Yes, certainly. I mean, the support staff who are going are those who are in our support office in Lucan, and it's going to be very sad to see them go. I know that the Musgrave people are working very hard to try and fit them into other places in the Musgrave operation, not Super Value operation. So hopefully they'll be able to, you know, a number of them will be able to be looked after.
When Musgrave bought Super Quinn a couple of years back, you expressed the view that the name should be retained as a separate identity. But from a business point of view, can you see the sense, can you see the logic in what Musgraves are doing?
Well, mind you, when I spoke to Musgrave people, I suggested that Super Quinn was such a strong name that they should consider changing Super Value to Super Quinn. But I didn't get any enthusiasm for that. They have 190 Super Values and only 24 Super Quins. So I could understand them making the sense of going that far. But in general, we never got to very far. We never got to Cork. We never got to Galway. So we didn't get all around the country. But 24 shops was not bad, considering we started back in 1960, which is 53 years ago.
And why did you not tend to expand too far westwards? You are very much identified with the East Coast.
Well, not really. I started in Dundalk and then opened in Finglas and back in 1960s, and then Sutton and Northside. So we did our best, but you can only expand at a certain pace. And I wasn't going to. One of the things we did was we bought all our shops. We didn't borrow to rent them. We didn't rent them. So practically all except Northside were bought. And so we were careful in the way we developed. And rather than try to expand too quickly, we operated at a pace that was probably sensible enough.
And Musgraves, of course, are investing a lot more money in the company over the next few years.
Well, they're putting a lot of money into it. And those who've been into Super Quinn in recent times will see some of the stores that have been renovated. And they've done a lovely job on them. And I think they're going to survive very well. I'd love to see the name stay, but that's just a personal thing.
I suppose one of the odd things from your point of view is that all of these are still supermarkets. You must have expected at the time that you sold in 2005 that at least some of the shops that you had established would actually become apartment blocks or office blocks.
Well, I know that the people who bought from us had plans
at Select Retail Holdings.
Select Retail Holdings. They had planned to put underground car parks and maybe five or six floors of apartments or offices on top. But I think they did intend to leave the supermarkets there, maybe take them out for a while when the building went on, and then come back in again. That hasn't happened, in to the best of my knowledge. I don't think it's happened anywhere. But the renovations that are taking place now under Musgraves, they're doing a lovely job, and some of the shops now, you know, needed money spent on them after 7 or 8 years.
Now, obviously, you got out at the right time. You were made an offer you couldn't possibly refuse. But and you say you consulted members of the family, but it must have been particularly difficult for you. It must have been a terrible wrench for you in particular, because obviously you've been involved in the business for a lot longer than other family members.
Well, I never go past the Supercrin shop without dropping in and seeing my colleagues there and buying something. We've always continued to shop there as well. But it was a little bit of a wrench. But there are so many other interests in life. I mean, I've been involved in the Shannon now for 20 years, and I've been involved in other things as well, and television as well. And I've written a new book called Mind Your Own Business, which is doing very well. So between all of that, it keeps me very busy.
And were you kept in the loop about what was going on in Supercrin even after you let it go? Did you have any kind
even
informal consultancy?
Oh, I was, yes. Oh, no, the Musgrave people particularly kept me in the loop very much so. I knew what was direction they were going even before they'd made the decision. And then when they made the decision, they kept me in the loop again, and I was able to talk to them. As I said, the only effort I made was to suggest that they should change the SuperValue name to Supercrin. I don't think they're going to do that, so I didn't get any enthusiasm for it. But I think it's going to be worked well for those who are working in Supercrin. Now, the 102 people that are going to be let go from Lucan, that's very sad, but they're the back office people, and hopefully there'll be jobs for them somewhere.
And when you got up and running in the 1960s, what was the concept? What were you trying to do?
Well, the concept was very much so in those days. The company was called Quinn's Supermarket for the first 10 years, and it was only when Quinn's Worth came along and started getting more publicity than we had, and we were being confused, that I changed the name to Superquinn. We were going to call it Super Q, but the shops were very busy at the time, and I only felt that people would say, "I know, wonder they call it Super Q. Look, you have to queue up at the checkout for so long."
So, hostage to fortune right there.
But it was very much a price thing. I mean, when we opened in Dundalk and later in Finglas and Sutton, people came to us because of the price. It wasn't until... Now, the other thing was, I'd grown up in the holiday camp, in Red Island Holiday Camp in Skerry, as my mother and father owned that, and therefore I was... grew up in the entertainment business to a certain extent, and I remember going along to the Tannoy people, they were the amplification people, when we opened in Dock, and said I wanted to put music into the shop and I wanted to put a microphone so I could make announcements. And I remember the boss of Tannoy said, "And what sort of a shop is it?" And I said, "It's a grocery shop." He said, "You're putting music into a grocery shop and you're putting announcements and microphones?" But it was more to entertain people, put a bit of fun into it. And, of course, every week went by, we had something different, whether it was Win Your Weight in Groceries or a balloon race across the Irish Sea or burst a balloon and win a prize or whatever it was. And they were some of the things we tried to do then when I got involved in the Fergal Gwynn's retail therapy on television, to put that into the shops, the various shops around the country. And, you know, there's a huge amount of enthusiasm among smaller traders. And while things seem bad, and there are some trades having great difficulty at the moment, but there are others who are succeeding very well and actually booming and expanding.
And were you often, I mean, there's no physical similarity whatever, but were you often mistaken for Pat Quinn? You mentioned Quinsworth in the late 60s,
the two names, 70s. Yeah, no, the two names were certainly...
Did people think you were brothers or something?
Yeah. Yes, I think people thought, but there was a third Quinn. H. Williams was owned by John Quinn's family. So there were Quinns in H. Williams, there were Quinns in Quinsworth, and there was myself in Superquinn. And I think from anybody else who'd hear about us say, "Oh yes, I heard of you," not knowing which of the Quinns we were confused with. But I think we were all different personalities. Pat Quinn was certainly larger than life. John
yes.
Quinn was a different man altogether.
Yeah.
And but we all grew up with different backgrounds.
And did you at some point go consciously upmarket? Because that's the reputation you had. You had the reputation for being a little bit more expensive than some of the other supermarkets.
I think we had to find ourselves different. We had to make ourselves different, and we had to become a destination, as I call it in that book, in Mind Your Own Business. How do we become a destination? You're different from your competitors. And we found ways of doing that in various ways. And one of the ways was that people would enjoy their shopping experience. You see, having grown up in a holiday camp, where my father's objective was that everybody leaving at the end of the week would say, "I enjoyed that experience, I'm coming back again." So I did the same thing in the supermarket. And if that meant packing your bags, if it meant wheeling your trolley out to your car for you, if it meant doing whatever it is, giving you sausages or bread that was baked there on the spot, you know, all of those things were, the aim was to make it different. And I think Musgraves will be able to continue that in SuperValu and will be able to do a lot of that in the future. And hopefully the SuperQuint touches will be expanded into the SuperValu stores.
And, I mean, that was one of the characteristics as well. It was the idea of providing fresh produce, but also setting up bakeries in each of the stores. That was important as well, wasn't it?
Yes, we were the first to do that, and we ended up as the largest baker, at least the largest employer of bakers, because we had 4 or 5 or 6 bakers in every shop, and they're still there in those cases. And I think while the marketplace changes and things change, I think tastes, you have to adjust to tastes. I mean, I think what happened in the 1970s was that people began to become more interested in health, they began to become more interested in the environment, and they began to become more interested in taste. Way back in the 60s, really there's very little choice. You the same brands, and you really didn't have much choice to whichever shop you went into. Our objective was to say, can we excite somebody? Can we have somebody say, I'm going to drive past other supermarkets and go to that one because of... And whether it was bread baked on the spot, whether it was sausages made on the spot, or salads, or pizzas, or whatever they were, and particularly butchery and fruit and veg, you could make a difference with those. It was very hard to say that our detergent washed whiter than the one you bought in Dunn's stores, you know, if it was the same brand. But you could say something about your sausages or your bread or your pizzas or whatever it was.
Fergal, stay with us if you would. Tom Durley, you have feasted on some of the finest foods on the planet, but the humble SuperQuinn sausage is on your mind today. What's so special about it?
It is indeed, Miles. Probably because it was not quite part of my growing up. I remember in the early 1980s when it came on the scene, and discovering that here was a sausage that was actually very much similar to the sausages, the great Dublin brands that were there in the 1960s, and it sort of it revived the tradition of what I call the Dublin sausage, a very distinctive kind of spicing, very very juicy, and certainly something that graced the breakfast table for me.
And Fergal, tell us about the sausage. There are all kinds of stories about how it originated, and that you know, you went travelling in Italy and you were trying to develop the perfect Irish sausage, and that there was a competition about what is the truth behind the SuperQuinn sausage?
It wasn't Italy, it was Germany, it was Nuremberg. Went to the busiest supermarket I'd ever seen. A friend of mine in America had brought 4 Americans over. There were big supermarket people there. Now, we had, I think, 7 shops at the time. And saw this very busy supermarket that was built side by side with a sausage factory. There was a glass barrier between the two. And people queued up at the butchery counter to buy their sausages that had just been baked or just been made a few minutes earlier. And you couldn't shop in that shop on your own because somebody would steal your sausages from your trolley when you were going down the detergent aisle. Now, you hadn't paid for them, you didn't pay till you get to the checkout. So they weren't stealing your money, they were stealing your time. But I remember going to lunch that day with the American supermarkets, one of whom had 1,000 stores and the other 200 and the other 500 or something. And I said, I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get back because I'm going to put a sausage plant in each of our shops. And Morris and Northside would be great, and John and Sutton and Jim and Finglas. And one of the Americans who had 80 shops or 100 of them, he said, no, that's of no interest to me. You see, Fergal, we're too big to do that. But because I knew Morris and I knew John and I knew Jim, I knew the people who'd be able to do it, but they were too big. And I thought, my day was made when I realized there's a great advantage in knowing your people. There's a great advantage in being small enough to compete with the bigger guys. And that's when we went out and then came up with the sausage. And Pat Kelly, who was our manager in Northside at the time, said, I think I could make a success of this. And he came back to me and said, when we experiment with sausage, we said we could have the tastiest sausage, or we could have the healthiest sausage, or we could have the cheapest sausage, which we would go for. And we decided to go for taste. And it was just great fun experimenting and finding out what's the taste that the Dubliners wanted.
And Tom Dury, would you like to get the recipe? I don't think you're going to get the recipe.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Would you like it?
Oh, yes, yes. I've actually been trying to guess it, and in today's paper, I think I'm hazarding a guess that there's coriander, cumin, and something else, but I'm probably miles off, you know.
I'm not telling you, Tom. You're going to have to work on it.
Grand.
Tom, that's not the greatest line in the world. Apologies for that. But we're joined also by Conor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent of the Irish Times. Conor, the Super Quinn sausage was trending on Twitter yesterday. There was a lot of angst about the disappearance also of the name. But in stark, realistic commercial terms, is it of any major significance?
Well, I have to commend Fergal for his ability to continue to peddle the myth of the Super Quinn sausage, because the secret ingredients, two of them would be connective tissue and fat. But the other thing that I think is important about the Super Quinn sausage is that when it was brought into Ireland in the 1970s, it was made in store by Super Quinn butchers. But today it's made by the biggest meat processor in the country, which is ABP Meats, which is owned by Larry Goodman. So properly, the name of the sausage is the Larry Goodman sausage. And I'm wondering if there was a Goodman sausage on the market, would it sell quite so well, or would it be remembered with quite so, such fondness by Irish people?
Fergal?
Well, it's very much a recipe that we developed and that Pat Kelly developed way back in the 1970s. And I remember we did experiments on Dawson Street in the Mansion House. We went outside the Mansion House and we gave people the opportunity to come in and taste a whole range of sausages. And that's where we come up with the actual recipe that we...
And all of that is great. And in the 1970s and in the 1980s and in the 1990s, there was a real place in people's hearts for the Super Quinn sausage. But the reality is, today, it is a mass-produced, heavily processed product, like almost every other sausage on the market. And there is literally more than a dozen artisan sausage makers out there who are making a much higher quality product, and they're the kind of people that we should be lionizing and supporting today.
Conor, also just in relation to the wider story, the wider ramifications of the story, tell us a little bit about Musgrave's and the model they use for Super Value and what we're likely to see happen to Super Quinn stores in the future.
Well, I think one of the very interesting things about Musgrave's and the Super Value brand is that, unlike every other supermarket in the country, it is much more firmly rooted in the community, because they operate what is basically a franchise model. So if you see a Super Value store in Cork or in Galway or in Clare or wherever it might be, it is owned by an individual who lives in and works in that community. As a result, they make decisions based on what is good for their community, as opposed to decisions which are based on what is good for London shareholders or shareholders in Germany or whatever it might be. And one of the things that they say about Super Value is, for every euro you spend in a Super Value shop, 45 cent gets reinvested back in the local economy in terms of sponsorship and the buying of local produce and the employing of accountants and solicitors. For every euro that you spend in a big, big multinational supermarket, only 15 cent gets recycled back into the local economy. So that's one thing that I think gives Super Value an edge. And it's going to have a real edge in the weeks and months and years ahead, because as a result of its decision to dispense with the Super Quinn name, it now has 25% of the Irish market. It's second only to Tesco. But what's interesting about the market now is Tesco is declining. Not very much, but it's declining. It fell from over 28% to just over 27% in the last year. Super Value is increasing. And it would be a really significant shift in the Irish market if Super Value could overtake Tesco and become the biggest player.
And will Musgrave's, do you think, seek franchises for the Super Quinn stores that are now becoming Super Value stores?
Well, I mean, at the moment, the stores that currently trade under the Super Quinn name are owned by Musgrave's, and I can't see that changing in the short term. What they will do, and I'm sure they will, is they will continue to expand the Super Value brand using the model that has worked so well for it over the last 10 or 15 years. And the kind of the merger of the two was inevitable, but I think people were bemoaning yesterday the loss of the Super Quinn name, and what they were actually bemoaning was the loss of a memory, because Super Quinn has been gone for many years. It went into receivership in 2011, and Musgrave's bought it at that point. So at that point, the element of competition that Super Quinn brought to the market
disappeared. But of course, when Select Retail Holdings, which is basically a property conglomerate, bought the company, it really was in decline at that point. And the notion that Superquin epitomizes quality today and represents that the best retailing can offer simply isn't true. Now, that's not to say that Fergal Quinn, when he built his model, wasn't at the absolute vanguard of delivering a high-quality supermarket product to Irish consumers. He was, and that carried on throughout the 1980s and the 1990s. But for the last 10 or 15 years, it's been in decline.
And the secret of the success of Lidl and Aldi, is that to do with high-quality own-brand produce?
Well, actually, it's very interesting what's happened between with Lidl and Aldi, because when they first came into the Irish markets, they were greeted with huge suspicion, because we would walk up and down their aisles, we wouldn't recognise any of the brands, and the shelves were covered with all these bizarre items like blowtorches and jackhammers, which sat alongside the porridge and the muesli, and people didn't really have any idea what to make of it. But over the last 10 years, people have warmed to the notion of Aldi and Lidl, and the reason is because of the own brand products, but not because the own brand products are cheap, but because the own brand products have improved in quality dramatically in both Aldi and Lidl. Now, in 5, 6, 7 years ago, at the height of the boom, when we thought we had more money than God and we were spending all around us, Irish people were absolutely enslaved to their brands. Only 8% of the typical Irish supermarket shopping trolley was made up of own brand goods in the late 1990s and early part of the last decade. Now, that was largely down to the historical yellow pack products that were introduced by Quinsworth in the early 80s. But we hated generic own brand products. It was 8% 6 years ago. It's now about 35% own brand products. The reason is both price and quality, because the quality of the own brand products that are produced by Supervalue, by Lidl, by Aldi, by Tesco's and by Dunn's is much better now than it was 5 or 6 years ago. But we still have a long way to go, because while we consume 35 or 40% own brand today, our British cousins consume 50 or 55% own brand, and the Germans consume 70% own brand products. Now, that's not because the Germans are willing to accept inferior quality food. It's because they get high quality own brand products and they are much more sensible with their money when it comes to supermarket shopping and indeed everything else.
And Conor, how healthy is competition in the Irish market? Is there a major difference between any of these outlets with, say, a basket of 20, 30 basic products?
No, I think that's actually the most dispiriting thing about the Irish retail sector at present. There is a huge and alarming degree of price matching. If you pick 20 of the most commonly bought items in the Irish supermarket trolley, in Dunn's, Tesco's, Superquin, Supervalue, and you put them all into a basket, there will be a difference of less than 1 or 2% between the price of the dearest and the most and the cheapest, whereas and some of the prices will be absolutely identical. Now, if you can, so we're always being told to shop around, but if every single retailer is selling a 2 litre container of milk for £1.69, and if every single retailer is selling butter at the same price and selling tea at the same price and cheese and whatever it might be, the value of shopping round is almost non-existent, and the price matching is so dispiriting that it would almost make you think that they were working on a model which said, what is the most that the Irish consumer can bear to pay, and that's the price that we'll charge, but that's the price that we'll all charge.
Conor, just before I let you go, to give you some reaction to your single-handed assault on the Supercrumb sausage, Des in Raheny says, the Pope is not infallible after all. I presume he's referring to the Conor Pope in this instance. Supercrumb sausages are still the tastiest, so Des reckons they're still the tastiest no matter who's actually making them. Mary, on the other hand, says, well said, Conor Pope, buy Irish, shop Irish and support the local economy. Thanks for speaking the truth and dispelling the myth of the so-called Superquin sausage. And Kay says, up the Superquin sausage. Also, please ask Musgraves to continue the beautiful rye bread. Conor, thanks very much for joining us this morning. That's Conor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent of the Irish Times. And finally to you, Fergal, do you see, not, I'm sure that you are, I presume you've retained a certain interest, but you're not obsessed with it at this stage. Do you think the landscape, the supermarket landscape, is going to change much in the next decade in Ireland? Or will Aldi, Lidl, Tesco, M&S and Supervalue continue to battle it out for market share? We're not going to see any major new arrivals or any major departures.
Well, I'm thinking, if I go back miles to when I started, there was Lipton's had 60 shops in Ireland.
and H. Williams had 18, I think, in Dublin, and then Albert Goubet came along. So the marketplace is going to change all the time. There's no way it'll be the same. I think the interesting one that's going to happen is will internet shopping have an effect on the grocery trade? And I think it will. I'm not quite sure how it's going to work, but when we opened with our our internet shopping in Lucan, and in the other Supercoin shops, we found a lot of people who said, I'd love to find a way to be able to avoid doing my shopping by having you do it for me. But I don't want to hang around for 2 hours waiting for the delivery to come between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. So we set up what we called click and collect. And that meant we did the shopping for you, and then you came along and collected it either from the frozen or the chilled at the depot. So I think there will be a change in internet shopping. I think people, not everybody, a lot of people will still want to buy their food where they can taste it and sample it and see it rather than just automatically do it online.
Final text for you, Fergal, a very praiseworthy text or praising text. As a child, I remember my mum driving 20 miles past several other supermarkets to shop in Superquinn. I also remember seeing Mr. Quinn on the shop floor on a regular basis. He would take time to speak to me, even as a child. So Tara in Dublin 8 remembers that. Fergal, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this morning.
Pleasure, Miles. Thank you.
Fergal Quinn there.